I would like to acknowledge the Guringai people and pay my respects to the elders both past and present. The Guringai people are the traditional owners of this land where we meet today. Ever wondered how someone can deliver a story on stage and the noise in a crowded room stops and you could hear a pin drop? Well, that's what happens when my guest today, Liza Newell, from Virginia's Shenandoah Valley, jumps on stage. Since 2017, Liz has been taking her storytelling show on the road, hitting up spots from DC to North Carolina. It's like bringing a piece of her hometown magic wherever she goes. This is Liza's story.
Welcome to Sharing Stories, Changing Lives. The host, Karen Sander, has the privilege of interviewing individuals from all walks of life, each with their own powerful and inspiring stories. The guests share their life experiences, and in doing so, they celebrate the transformative magic of storytelling. To learn more, visit www.thestoryroom.au and explore the private membership area, the Backstage Pass.
At the end of the interview, Liza and I will go backstage when Liza will share more tips that she uses to woo the audience. So welcome, Liza.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
I wanted you to share what you loved about your life growing up and becoming the person you are today. Anything that you consider unique about your life?
I grew up in a really small town called Stanton in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, which is on the east coast of the United States. And one thing that is unique about my childhood is that I grew up without cable television. So I spent a lot of unstructured time playing outside. There were a lot of kids in my neighborhood, and my sister and I were allowed to run back and forth from our house to their house, and we would mix potions and build forts in the woods. And I really feel like as a little girl, I had an opportunity to establish very imaginative play. And that quality has stayed with me as an adult, and I think has helped me stay connected to my curiosity, my imagination, my ability to still be playful the older I've gotten.
There's many ways to tell a story. You can tell it in a novel. Why did you choose storytelling as your art form? Like, what drew you to storytelling?
When I was 8 years old, my mom took me to the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And that's a weekend-long festival that brings storytellers from all over the world, and they tell folk tales and fairy tales and mythologies and personal stories. And I remember being a little girl and being so distracted by the world around me, I could hardly sit still. But somehow, at the National Storytelling Festival, sitting at the feet of these storytellers, I was just totally enthralled. And it was the feeling of the rest of the world melting away, and it was me and the storyteller and this whole new world they were creating for me to walk into. And I remember at that first festival, I told my mom that I wanted to be a storyteller. And my path has, you know, branched off in all sorts of different directions since then, but it's always been an art form I've loved. And in the past few years, I've returned to it in a professional capacity. And it just feels like a homecoming of sorts to be reorienting myself back in the world of storytelling.
Yeah, so there's so many forms of storytelling, isn't there? There's personal stories, but as you just mentioned, there's folk tales and there's mythologies. And yeah, so do you have a favorite type of story you like to tell?
I love telling personal stories. I think that having an opportunity to go back in time to my childhood, to places that I used to spend a lot of time, or to interact with these people in my imagination who have been and maybe still are important figures of my life, feels like a really special experience to be able to share with listeners.
When you're preparing a story, how do you, before you share it with an audience, how do you, what's your process to embody that story?
You know, I will do a lot of creative imagining. Usually I start off with an idea or a memory, and I really try and inhabit the world where that memory would have taken place. So through this imaginative process, I will visualize, well, what did it look like walking into my grandmother's kitchen, and what was the temperature, and what were the smells, and what were the textures? You know, storytelling is really such a sensory experience that the more of that imagery you can give to your listeners, the clearer picture of the world the story takes place in begins to form. So I'll spend some time imagining those scenes within my mind's eye. I'll take time to do long form writing. Sometimes I'll draw quick sketches. Those processes really kind of get the gears turning. And then I think a way to get the story really rooted is to approach it through this embodiment practice of, okay, I'm a very physical storyteller, so I like to practice and work on my stories standing up so natural movement can come through. And I can consider, if I'm bringing the character of an angsty teen into this story, what is their posture? What is their body language? And being able to put my physical body in that kind of mode of the angsty teen affects my voice and affects my pacing. So it's all this process of enactment that feels very alive and in the moment.
What else sort of helps you to bring a story to life? Are there any other things, like maybe dance or?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I find that the more that I can wake up creative capacities within my body, then the more open I am energetically for a story to come through. Something that I have worked into my rituals around creating stories and before sharing them is this process of dance. It is a spontaneous process, sometimes with music, sometimes without music, but I found that this free flow dance allows me to get into an intuitive space of rhythm and of breath and of motion. And it does put me in a creative flow state that translates into being able to tap back into that creative flow state when I'm on stage sharing a story.
Yeah, I guess from my point of view, when I come on stage, you know, yes, I'm very prepared when I go on stage to MC a storytelling event, but I'm not in that creative mode like a storyteller would be as they come on stage. But can I share something that happened to me a few months ago,
please,
Liza? I jumped on stage and I felt really flat and I couldn't bring the energy to the introduction. So I just said to everybody, can I just stop for a minute? Karen's not here yet. I'll be back in a minute. And I ran to the end of the stage and I did a little jig up and down. And I went, okay, she's back.
That's excellent.
And I was like, it was like, I was really, something was really lacking in what I was delivering. So I had to go and find it. And it was really fun to show the audience that you can goof around on stage.
Definitely.
And, you know, people appreciate, I think, that you're not always on.
Right. I think that just makes the moment so relatable, because we don't always show up as energetic or as engaged as we want to be. But doing what you just described allows us to tap back into a different sort of energetic state of being and say, okay, now I'm going to take the energy of this jig and I'm going to bring it back with me and totally enliven the introduction that I'm going to give.
Is there a specific experience where you felt really connected to your body while you were telling a story? And what was that, if there was one, what was that feeling like?
I had an event in January in Washington, D.C., and as soon as I stepped on stage, it was that same feeling that I described it as being at the Storytelling Festival when I was little, where the rest of the world melted away. And the feeling was almost one of myself melting in the story. Like it, I, as Liza Newell, wasn't really there. I had kind of become this archetypal storyteller who was fully rooted in the world of my story. And from that place, I was able to invite the listeners in and lead them through the experience of the story I wanted to share with them. And, you know, I used to do a lot of musical theater in high school, and I would have similar experiences. And I used to put it in the context of like, well, I feel like I would get on stage on a night when our show was live, and it's almost like I would black out, and then I'd come back to at the end of the show when we were taking our curtain call. And that feeling became an indication of how well I did. You know, of course, when I was in theater, I had memorized the script and I knew the choreography. And as a storyteller, I know the story I'm telling. But it's less about what I know I've said and more about the feeling I step off of the stage with that indicates how present I was and how well I carried the story.
For people in the audience, you're taking them on a journey. And you said that earlier, the journey you went on when your mother took you to that first event and that you were just lost.
I think it's a beautiful gift that we can give to each other to be lifted out of the moment of whatever else might be going on in our lives, if it's challenging, if there's sadness. And just find levity and reprieve and the opportunity to step outside of yourself and be in a new space with the storyteller and other listeners.
About the relationship between the teller and the listener, can you give us some context around that?
Yes. You know, I think the relationship between the storyteller and the listener is very specific and alive. You really need a listener to be there in order for the story to, at least for me, not feel dormant. And when a listener is present, there's this incredible communal invocation that happens of call and response, of action and reaction. And I think I find that an old or often told story takes on a new shape with each new audience who hears it because there's a different energy in the room. There are different people listening. There's a different spectrum of emotional and imaginative connection. And, you know, I came across an article the other day that quoted Ori Hassan, who is a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Princeton University. And he said research has found that as a listener hears a story unfold, their brain waves actually start to synchronize with the brain waves of the storyteller. And I just loved that because I think it really illustrates how stories create a context for larger alignment across any other layers of identity we might be carrying with us.
If you're interested in getting more involved in our community, connecting with people who share your interests, you can do this by visiting our website at www.thestoryroom.au.
I really like that quote that you have from the neuroscientist. And I know there's a lot of studies now on neuroscience and storytelling, but my event is called The Story Room and the tagline is Sharing Stories, Changing Lives. What's your perception on how stories change lives?
I mentioned earlier that how storytelling is this really It's a sensory experience. And when a story can engage all of our senses, it evokes an emotional connection to the story that is being told. And that emotional connection makes storytelling a very persuasive art form. I really believe that stories that are shared out loud help open up new pathways of understanding, both within the teller and the listener. And as those new pathways are open up, intersections are created where my experience can intersect with yours and your experience can intersect with mine. And all of a sudden, we have a common landscape from which we can orient. You know, I think the timeless stories have offered us the opportunity to choose empathy and to be brave in the face of exploitation and to rise up and show resistance and resilience. So stories are really great teachers for us.
Listening to stories is a learning curve for me. It's like my lifelong learning process because I'm learning to understand. I'm learning to be more able to see other points of view and put myself in other people's shoes and to be more empathetic.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's not always easy. You know, listening to stories is not a passive experience. And I think you touched on something really important is that to really take a story in requires you to leave a lot at the door and walk in disarmed and open and receptive.
Are there any techniques or strategies that ensure that your stories are coming from within and not from in your head?
Mm. I mentioned earlier my practice of dance as a way of rooting into my body and sparking this creative play. I also find that getting outside, like I used to do in my childhood, is in a really important way to connect energetically with nature, and that feeds this calm capacity in me. Eating nourishing food, doing yoga, I think that in consideration of telling a story from an embodied place, there are these practices that tend to the mind, body, spirit, heart connection, which are also important to bring with you on stage as a storyteller. So any of those grounding practices kind of touch on every facet for me.
How do you draw strategies and techniques from watching other storytellers?
Mm. Yeah, listening to other tellers is such an important part of learning to tell your own. I often listen to other tellers and try and hold this curiosity that asks the question, how did they do that? Where did they start their story? Did it start in, you know, the middle of an action? Did it start in their grandmother's kitchen? Did it end in their grandmother's kitchen? What was their pacing like? What was their tone of voice like? How did they introduce different characters and embody them? And what's incredible is that there's no wrong way to tell a story. So with every story you hear, every teller will have a different way of telling it, and it just creates this really rich tapestry that you can draw from to inspire your own style and method.
How long do you think it really took you to become a storyteller that you are really happy with?
A lot of that process for me feels like one of deciding that I'm not going to hold myself back anymore. There are stories that I've worked on quietly for a really long time that especially in the beginning of my work with storytelling, I was so afraid to let go of because I wanted them to be perfect. And of course, there's no such thing as perfect. So I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for some unknown moment where I could finally set these stories free. And I just got to a point where I was tired of waiting. And I decided, okay, I trust myself. I trust the listener. I trust the story. And I can give myself permission to set these stories free.
Can you give us an example of a particular story that was challenging for you to develop, and it took you a long time, and what made it challenging for you? How did you overcome those obstacles?
There's a story that I started working on recently about a period in my life where within a 6-month time frame, I had switched professional careers 3 different times. And I was trying to work on the story, and it was really hard for me to feel like I had perspective on it. You know, I knew the sequence of events. I knew what happened. I knew how I felt. But what I realized is that not enough time had passed between that 6-month period of me having 3 different jobs and where I was now. And so I actually had to reach further back beyond that experience and consider, okay, well, what is the emotional experience I want to convey? Can I find that in an earlier part of my life? A storyteller who you and I have both learned from, Noah Baum, tells her students that if you try and tell a story that is an experience you've just lived, you don't have the perspective on it to really understand what it means. I found in developing the story I was intending to work on, I had to shift away from what I initially thought it would be. And the story that I ended up telling was a story of how I fell in love with storytelling as a little girl and then have come back to it as an adult.
When you're going through personal issues, conflicts in your own life, how does storytelling help you? Can you make up a story about that? You might not want to tell it to an audience, or it might be a very small audience. But can those stories that you're working on about conflicts, can they help you, and how would they help you?
I think that they can absolutely help. You know, one of the powers of storytelling, especially when you're working on a story of your own, is that when you tell it, you own the narrative. It's your story. It's you claiming your own experience. And to me, that makes storytelling an incredible tool of empowerment. So if you can use storytelling as a way to orient yourself in your own experience, I think that there can be a freedom found there from conflict, or maybe, you know, it helps with an emotional processing that allows you to put that experience within the container of the story and hold it there and continue to find ways to move forward.
I really have loved meeting you through Noah's workshops. And what is the importance of joining workshops, even an experienced storyteller?
You know, I love joining workshops to have a container held around my creativity. When you have a teacher, you get to learn from someone else's expertise. When you're in a room with other storytellers, you get to learn from their process of storytelling. I think it creates a level of accountability that, okay, sometimes if I'm just working on a story for myself, I can get distracted by what else is going on in my life and my creativity can kind of be pushed to the side. But if I know that every Monday for 2 hours, I'll be on Zoom in class with you and Noah, then I'm going to make sure that I do my homework ahead of time. And I'm going to make sure I bring a story that's that much more developed or refined when I do show up. That accountability is so helpful. And just the networking is, I think, incredible.
I think it's like accountability, but you need those people around you to inspire you and to hear how someone else might put perspective on your story. It's a wonderful experience sharing the journey with someone
else. Absolutely.
And that's how we met.
I know. It's so fun. I think creativity can certainly happen alone, but it is not meant to, you know, as with the rest of the lives we live, it's something that's meant to be shared.
If people want to hear some of your stories, where can they go?
You know, I actually don't have any recordings posted online yet. I am retooling a website. It'll be lizanewell.com. So that would be a good way to keep up with my work.
Is there a time frame on that retooling?
Yes, I'm hoping by the end of next week it will be up and running.
I'm looking forward to that. And Liza, we're going to say goodbye now. And thank you so much for sharing your journey as a storyteller. And I look forward to chatting to you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheerio, everyone. And we're going backstage to have a little bit of a chat now.
Thank you for tuning in to Sharing Stories, Changing Lives. We'd like to invite you to support us by purchasing a Backstage Pass, costing about the same as 2 cups of coffee each month. With the Backstage Pass, you'll gain access to workshops and exclusive content, including videos from our live events. You can do this by visiting our website at www.thestoryroom.au. We can continue to show that sharing stories changes lives.